Well, good morning. It's good to be with you all this morning. And I mean that at levels that are incomprehensible. Thank you for the word. I'm very grateful. And I'm so excited. I look calm, but believe me, down below the walls, my feet are dancing right now. They're this high. I think they'll be high enough to contain. Excited to be here. I say that on behalf of my wife Rebecca and my kiddos Addie and Patrick. This has been a long time coming for us. See here, I'm probably doing something wrong. There we go. Okay, put it to this side. Okay. But also, if you've heard some of the story, we had a bit of a process coming over here. We really did. And I can tell you the whole story this morning, but I'd ruin five really great sermon illustrations all in one shot. But I want to tell you one story, just one piece of what happened. It was supposed to arrive. What happened is, when you move, you got to do all these weird things. You got to take care of this thing over there you haven't thought about in a while, and this thing over there you haven't thought about in a while. And one of those things for me was an old gas can of lawnmower gas used. And so that's what I did. I poured it in the car and didn't think much of it. Well, yeah, I could see some of your faces right now going, oh. That's right. So I was getting ready to go down to the hardware store not long after. It's currency. And it needed more. So I was going down, and as I'm getting there, this car starts shaking and shaking and shaking. And I'm like, exactly what's happened here. It's that gas. As the car stopped, I fortunately, praise be to God. So I cruised into the parking lot of the hardware store. And I thought, oh no, I have annihilated the engine of my car the day before I'm supposed to drive to Richmond. And I'm asking the Lord, Lord, what am I supposed to do right now? And I have one of those really great buddies that I called. He seems to always have the right answer in this moment. And he's listening. He said, you know what, I better just come out there. And so he shows up. Did anybody ever grow up watching the television show MacGyver? Any MacGyver fan? Okay. My buddy pulls an absolute MacGyver move right here. It literally pulls out a pocket knife and an old water bottle. And over the next however many minutes, slowly, right there in the parking lot, works this old fuel out of my gas line in the car. And it took a while. And it took some putting around and some testing it and putting more fuel in. But as time went on, I just have to tell you, between MacGyver moves, some prayer, and working that gas out of the system, the next day I drove that car through the mountains of North Carolina all the way to Richmond, Virginia. And I'm going to tell you, I'm getting off on the exit of Richmond here, and I'm almost in tears. Because I've seen this story before. You know it. It was just sung about. It's that story when something should have been broken, should have been destroyed. I did it. I made the mistake. I don't mind calling spiritual warfare when it's happened, but every once in a while, we did it ourselves, didn't we? It's the story of redemption. It should have been, and yet it's not. This morning, there's so many things I want to share with you. What do you say on a first day? But I think the most important thing I can tell you is what Jesus has done in my life. And that's where I think it's great for all of us to just dwell on that space this morning. The power of testimony. The power of God working in our lives. And so this morning, that's what I want to share with you. And to do so, we're going to look at 1 John chapter 5. I'm going to be reading this from the NIV version this morning. But we're going to be in 1 John 5, verses 6 through 12. And so, hear the reading of his word this morning. Starting with verse 6. "This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ." He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that testify: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God which He has given about His Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made Him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony God has given about His Son. And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, that word, it stands on its own. I don't really have that much I can add to it. So Lord, I ask now that as we dwell on this word, that You would use it to transform our hearts, that we would walk out of here this morning a little closer to You than when we first walked in. Jesus, speak to us through the power of Your word. We'll give You all the glory. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. Well, our text this morning, it really puts us in a great place to discuss testimony, because it begins right where each of us begin our own stories, with Jesus. In the power of God, the power and the working of the Holy Spirit. Did you catch that in verse 6? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the who that testifies? The Spirit. Yeah, the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is truth. Have you ever noticed that throughout Scripture, that's all the Holy Spirit ever does? He testifies to Jesus. I like to say that He has one purpose, one main thing He wants to accomplish. He wants us to know who Jesus is. He's pointing us to Jesus over and over and over again. And so throughout the New Testament, we see the Spirit doing this over and over and over from the very outset in His birth, right? In Luke chapter 1, the Immaculate Conception. That happens through the work of the Spirit. Jesus' baptism, who descends on Him? The Spirit. That's right. Yeah, even when He's teaching, John 6:63 says that His words that He taught were full of Spirit and life. We see it through miracles. We even see the Spirit show up in the resurrection. Romans 8:11 says, "The Spirit of Him who raised up Jesus from the dead." It's kind of wild. If we're going to understand who the testimony of Jesus is, who the person of Jesus is, what this good news of Jesus is, each one of us begins in the power and working of the Holy Spirit. Each one of us. It's without fail. And this is great, because as Presbyterians, we actually believe this. We have a doctrine we call regeneration. Are we familiar with that word? Have we heard it before? It's that belief that God, when we could do nothing in ourselves, when we are dead because we're born into sin, the Spirit of God regenerates us, breathes life into us, so that we can hear that testimony of Christ, receive that good news of Christ, say yes to Christ. Each of our faith begins in the power of God. Each of our stories begins with God first saying, "I'm going to come after you, even when you would never look for me." That's the God we serve. That's the God who we're praising this morning. The one who comes after us, even though we don't look for Him. Well, what's so neat about this morning here in a little while is we're going to have some young folks come up and be baptized and confirmed this morning. And I just want to say, you know, I'm excited. This is my first day. I'm excited for a million reasons. But we're excited for you, because this is an incredible day in your testimony, in your story of following Jesus, of following the one who has called you by name and said, follow me. And this morning you're saying, I will. I'll do it. I was baptized as a believer at the age of 17, and by looks of things, I think you all are beating me to it. It's kind of a funny story. I came to faith in a Baptist church in kind of eastern central Tennessee. And I like to say that I'm the product of a good youth group, but I'll get to that in just a second, because I got to tell you about the baptism first. It's kind of a funny scenario. The pastor at the church at the time was this interim who was, he was an older gentleman, retired, just small, frail man, and I remember, you have Baptist church, so there's a baptistry, and we're crawling up there, and he looks at me in the eye, and he says, whatever happens, I want you to hold on to my arm. And I'm looking down at him saying, yes, sir. But you know what I'm thinking, right? We're going swimming. And I've always wondered if my baptism took or not, because he got in there and we're standing in the water and he says, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, I baptize you, Jeff Madrinsky. Well, my name's Josh, but before I could think too long, whoosh, I'm in the water, and all of a sudden, what's going on, has he fallen on me? And it was as if the hand of God himself reached down there and yanked me out of this water, and I come up looking around like, whoa, and everybody's clapping, and I'm thinking, maybe I should clap too. That was pretty amazing. And I was feeling very alive for a number of reasons at that moment. But I'm going to tell you what, it was a beautiful and wonderful moment in my life that represents the work of God that had preceded it. Because God spoke in my life right where I needed to hear Him speak. I know we all have different stories of how we came to trust Jesus as our Lord and Savior, but for me, I would say that as growing up, I was a person that believed Jesus was more of a fact. You know, somebody that, you know, he's there, he's God, and I started going to this faithful youth group, and it was a beautiful small volunteer led youth group with young people that kept inviting me, and adults who just kept loving me and pouring into me. And I came because I figured, well, you know, if you think that Jesus is God, you probably should learn something about him. It's all here, but as far as the person of Jesus, I wasn't there, not at all. Not at all. Well, there came one Wednesday afternoon that one of the youth volunteers was sharing with us out of Ecclesiastes. And up to that point in my life, I'm going to be honest, I kind of had a grim look of what the world was about. Just it felt like a series of events where, you know, you go through school so that you can get to college. You go to college so that you can get a job, and you get a job so that you can make money, and you make money so that you can keep working and eventually retire, and then you leave the world. And it felt so grim to me. So is that what life's about? It's just about getting a job and making money? And that didn't feel like it was enough for me. And so you can imagine, when this youth leader started reading out of Ecclesiastes, and I heard King Solomon say, vanity, vanity, it's all vanity. Nothing under the sun. I started having one of those moments where it felt like, why is the room getting smaller? Why am I sweating? What's going on in here? Because here's this ancient king speaking the very words of my heart. Now, all of us come to those moments differently. Some of us grew up in a wonderful house where our parents began speaking these truths of the gospel into our lives, and the Holy Spirit kept confirming them as time went on, and so we grew in the faith. And then some of us had these moments where the Spirit says, you know what, the life you're living right now is a lie. It's going to lead to death. And in that moment, the Spirit of God nailed me right where I was
says, yeah, you're right. It is worthless. And that incredible youth volunteer had no idea that he had me on the ropes. I mean, I was waiting for it. And here came the knockout blow. Because right after that, he began to tell us about what an eternal perspective looks like in Jesus Christ. What a life of selfless love and a life of following after Jesus as Lord look like. And I'm going to tell you what, there's a million sermons out there and a million Bible studies out there, but I believe that that day, that one was for me. Because it was the water that quenched my dry soul. It was everything I needed to hear right there in that moment. Well, what was happening? What was happening in that moment? I'm getting excited. I'm sorry. Well, good morning. What was happening is I was encountering the authority of God in the testimony of Jesus Christ. You know, it's in our text right here, verse 9. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater because it is the testimony of God. You know, it's kind of funny. John could have done a few things right there, but what he doesn't say is God's testimony is greater because we believe it. Nothing about us and the power of God's testimony. He says it's the testimony of God because it's from Him. It's shrouded in His authority, in His goodness, in His power. Why is that so important this morning? Well, because each one of us has a story of the power of God working in our lives. You know, each of us has a testimony of what Christ has done. And it's not just, you know, that one time Jesus did that and everything's been great from that point forward, right? I like to say that there's no easy buttons in following Jesus. No, it's an ongoing testimony, isn't it? Jesus keeps doing things in our life. Jesus keeps walking with us in our lives. John even says that here in verse 10. He says, whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Well, the word there for believes in the Greek, and I'm not a Greek scholar, so please don't confuse me. I just like to read people who are Greek scholars. And so, but in the Greek, that word is a continuous belief. You could almost read it like, and those who keep believing, keep experiencing this testimony of God, keep understanding this person of Jesus. You know, belief or faith is this ongoing bond that connects us to the power and presence of Jesus Christ. And I bet in this sanctuary right now, and those who are watching at home, there are a lot of stories of what Jesus has done in your life. There are a lot of stories where the power of God entered into your life and did something. Maybe you expected it, maybe you didn't. Maybe it was incredible, or maybe it was just subtle. Maybe it was one sermon that just, it really got you. Or it was that moment you were reading scriptures in the morning and all of a sudden the words popped off the page. Anybody ever have one of those moments where you're reading the Bible and all of a sudden, you know, I've read this 20 times, but right now I've never seen that before. Maybe it was an incredible time when somebody prayed for you and the Spirit of God did something that you could never have imagined. It's one of those moments where something should have been broken. It should have been. And yet, the redemption of Jesus Christ entered into it and changed you. The power of God entered in and changed you. When a church takes these stories of what God has done in our life, wears them on our sleeves, and recognizes that it's Jesus Christ who's all we've got. Oh, friends, that's an exciting place to be. There's a force there that can change society in ways that are incomprehensible in our own understanding. And I just got to tell you this morning, I've managed to stay in here, which is great because it's a little bit of a drop. I'm so excited to be here. I am so excited to be here. And I'm excited to join in to the testimony that is unfolding here at St. Giles. I can't wait. I can't wait to see what God does in us and through us. And one challenge I just want to make to you this morning is just for this week, just for this week. Be open to listening to the Lord's prompting, those little nudges where you feel like He's given you a little bit of faith to step out and unfold your testimony a little bit more this week. But as I give you a challenge, I want to give you three commitments on my behalf as a pastor. The first commitment is this. This is a church that loves Jesus Christ. It has been so clear to me since the first time I spoke with the nominating committee. You all love Jesus. And my commitment to you is that St. Giles is going to stay all about Jesus. In everything we do, whether it's preaching, whether it's the way we interact with others, the way we walk out our daily lives, the decisions we make, they're going to be made in concert with the heart and leadership of Jesus Christ. The second commitment I want to make to you is that as we talk about testimony this morning, I'm committed to seeing your testimonies grow. I'm committed to seeing discipleship grow in our church. And I know you do it well, but I want to see it keep happening. I want us to have more stories and experiences of Jesus working in our lives. And I know we're in the midst of a pandemic right now, but to do that, I really want to get to know you. I want to get an opportunity to hear your story. I've shared a little bit of mine this morning. So I want to ask you, what is God doing in your life? Where are you at with your story of God right now? So don't be surprised when I say, what's God doing in your life right now? Because I want to know. And I want to know how to pray for you. But a third commitment is I want to see us be a church that sees new testimonies getting formed in those who don't know Jesus yet. That we are a church where people say, man, I'll tell you what, you may know a little bit or a lot about St. Giles, but if you don't know anything, Jesus moves in that place. They are all about Jesus. And if you go hang out with those St. Jillians, you're going to know who Jesus is too. We are so excited to be here. Rebecca and I, we came here because we felt like the Lord was saying, I want you to be a part of what I'm doing at St. Giles. How can you not be excited about that, right? Friends, I can't wait to see what He does in us and through us. When He does it, Jesus is going to get the glory. We're going to get the testimony. And all praise be to Him. Amen?
Amen.
Would you pray with me? Jesus, You've brought us at various stages. It's so exciting that we have people coming up this very morning to say, I'm going to follow Jesus with my life. And yet I know in this room there are so many stories, so many testimonies of Your goodness, of Your work, of those moments that we look back and we say, I can tell you where I was going and where it should have ended, and yet it didn't. Praise be to You that You've redeemed us. Lord, I ask that You would help us see what You're doing in our day-to-day lives. Even this week, Lord, just give us eyes to see and faith to step out in those little places that You call us to be Your witnesses and to be Your servants. And Lord, we look forward to many, many days of testimony building right here in St. Giles. We'll give You all the glory, and we'll rejoice in the testimony. It's in Your name we pray, Christ. Amen.